50 years into South Africa's democracy, human rights infringements persist in several key areas. Socioeconomic rights remain a significant concern, with many citizens struggling to access basic necessities like food, quality education, healthcare, decent housing, and employment opportunities. Vanessa LaRue, the founder for Parents for Equal Education South Africa, says there are many human rights violations within the education system.
If we just take the beginning of each year, and how registering and admissions are allowed at schools, you could see how children's rights are being violated by the class system, and how, just in this province, how admission are being dealt with. Because clearly there's something seriously wrong if you sit at former Model C schools with maximum 25 children in a class, and in township schools you sit with 70 plus, and that's foundation phase children. And if you go to schools like Rhenish in Stellenbosch, you even sit with 6 to 10 grade 1 children, where your township school sit with 70 plus children in foundation phase. So that is the inequalities that stop children from receiving basic quality education, yet all of them are labeled as public schools. They must fall under the law of the South African Schools Act. However, we want to know, how do we get to that deep type of inequalities? And children are deprived, because what do we expect from a teacher to teach one class of 70 children in a foundation phase? What do we expect? What type of education do we expect? And that comes with all the social ills. Those children are not even school ready for the first day, because poverty scripts in. And all of these other type of things, we must really ask, are they human rights, or are they just placed there to say, okay, there's children, we did our best, their best is not enough anymore. Their best are sitting us in total crisis, because at this point, there is still children that's not placed.
Political analyst Andre Duvenage says the country faces several challenges that fall within local government, affecting the rights of many on a greater scale.
There's no doubt that South Africa as a country, 30 years down the line since the first democratic election, is facing major challenges when it comes to things like corruption, accountability, and human rights at large. There's no doubt that at the bottom of all lies a weakening state that is not built on a strong set of values. Therefore, when it comes to the application of power, in many cases, it is outside the frame and the idea proposed by certain legislation. And we have seen a tendency like state capture, which is an extreme manifestation of corruption in an institutionalized form, basically overriding political and judicial processes in South Africa. If you look, for example, at the findings of the Zondo Commission, you will find that about 1,000 ANC cadres were directly associated with the state capture. And together with state capture, there's a complete lack of accountability, which is a core value when it comes to democracy and the democratic dispensation. There's no doubt in my mind that we need to make a fundamental turnaround in the South African context. I think South Africa is currently looking for a new paradigm to implement in a way that can support the Constitution and the implementation of the Bill of Rights and what is associated with this.
Crime activist Simon Howell says with the crime being so rife in the country, access to justice remains a huge challenge, leaving the poorest of the poor most affected.
Access to justice for marginalized communities in South Africa remains a significant issue, and it's essentially shaped by the country's historical legacy of apartheid, structural inequalities, and of course contemporary governance challenges. The barriers are particularly pronounced for historically disadvantaged communities, as well as those who are outside of or external to the country, such as refugees and those in impoverished urban areas. The biggest concern, most fundamental concern, is an economic barrier to legal services, in the sense that many South Africans lack the financial means to afford private legal representation. And while legal aid services exist, they're often underfunded, understaffed, and overrun with cases, which results in very long delays and, an overall reduction in the quality of representation. And the result of that is essentially a two-tiered system in which wealthier individuals can navigate the legal landscape far more easily, while poorer individuals struggle with systemic inefficiencies and issues. So, essentially law is not equal and given to all at the same time. Geographic disparities can also exacerbate this, in the sense that rural communities often face significant difficulties in accessing courts, legal professionals, and other justice institutions. And as a result, they often deal with or are forced to deal with justice in a different way. And that's why often we find different types of forms of justice beyond the courts being meted out there. The justice system is, there are also significant language and cultural barriers, in the sense that, even despite 11 official languages, justice is primarily undertaken in English or Afrikaans, which, while interpreters can be or are available at least most of the time, they're not always guaranteed to be there, and their quality may not be great. So that's a concern. Another big issue is around refugees and asylum seekers. South Africa has one of the highest numbers of asylum seekers in the world, and yet the asylum seeking system is plagued by inefficiencies, corruption, and xenophobia. And of course, this impacts on people's ability to access the justice system, both formally through systems, but also informally through, being allowed to simply engage with the justice system because of the xenophobia and the like. There's also a significant issue around legal literacy, I think, in this country, and that people just don't understand how the laws work and how the legal system works and how justice works. So as a result, they either expect too much from the system or equally don't understand when they could be accessing the system and it would be important. So ultimately, I think there's an ongoing legacy of socioeconomic differences and divides, which, structure our society as a whole, which have an impact on people's access to justice specifically, and which, I think there's a lot of work to be done to make those, to deal with those differences and to engage, so to allow the system to become more efficient but also more accessible for people.
Community activist Ludovica Gordon says communities are failed when it comes to accessing public health care.
The constitution guarantees us access to food, water, and social security. It also says that we have got the right to access health care, including reproductive health care and emergency medical treatment. However, healthcare services are influenced by socioeconomic status. So if you are somebody that does not have medical aid, you get mediocre or substandard medical care in South Africa. And that is the unfortunate truth. Because we do know that people that do go to our local community day hospitals or day clinics, they are not always treated with dignity and respect. They are mistreated, and they are also oftentimes, more often than not, disregarded. Part of the Public Health Act says that we have got the right to get proper diagnosis. We've got the right to ask questions because it is our bodies. So we have the right to ask these kinds of questions. However, we know that when you do speak to a medical practitioner or a doctor in the public health service system, they are very impatient. They do not want to talk to you. They will tell you, listen, this is wrong with you, and they leave you just like that. Even though we know people may not be refused emergency medical care, however, that is not happening, because on the Cape Flats specifically, we do know that if anybody, God forbid, have a heart attack, now you call the ambulance services. if there's no police to accompany them, they will not get helped with an ambulance, okay? And also, when the ambulance do take them to the public hospital or to your local community day clinic, they will then be told to, they have to wait. because you are not prioritized, and there is this huge disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Fariel Adams, executive manager of WaterCan South Africa, says the figures representing access to clean water and sanitation has become alarming over the years.
Access to basic water and electricity is entrenched in our constitution as a basic human right. And if you ask government, they would tell us that they've done really well, in particularly in terms of water and sanitation, with 88.5% that have access to clean water and about 80% that have access to improved sanitation. The problem is that these statistics are misleading and does not reflect people's experiences of access on the ground, with at least 31 or 32% that still depend on communal taps, that we have about 9% of the population still depending on rivers, dams, and streams for their water supplies, goes against what is written in our constitution and basic water policies in the country. These do not basically talk to each other. And I would say that after 30 years of democracy, we actually have large numbers of people in South Africa that do not have the basic access to clean water and reliable electricity.
It is important to remember that no political system, not even democracy, is immune to violations of human rights. Nonetheless, democratic countries are equipped with systems to deal with these problems, including a free press, an independent court, and civil society groups. For VOC News, I'm Lesheyo Rutan Gilbert.